BBC Radio proudly presents,
without the aid of an epidural,
the newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The Journal of Dr. John H. Watson, surgeon and physician, medical examinations while you wait, warm hands a speciality. I also have the honor of being a close personal friend of that most brilliant of private detectives, Sherlock Holmes, criminologist, master of disguise and toffee-nosed ponce. One of our most extraordinary adventures occurred in the high summer of 1893. I call it the case of the deranged botanist. Holmes, I'm home. Holmes? Oh. He doesn't seem to be here at the moment. Hello. What's this book he's left open on his favourite armchair by the fire, which, of course, we don't require lit at the moment, this being the middle of August, with London currently sweltering in a tropical-style heat wave. Let me see. The Art of Disguise, Volume 7, Transmogrification into Inanimate Objects.
Hello.
Oh. Who's there? Holmes? Is that you?
You can't see me, can you?
Oh, come along, Holmes. I am not in the mood for childish parlor games. It is too dashed hot.
I'll give you a sweetie if you can spot me.
One that takes ages to suck.
Your favorites.
No, it's no good. I can't see you.
But you can if you try. Face the window and observe. Voila!
Great heavens! That's truly amazing, Holmes. That was you all along?
Yes, Watson. My latest disguise, a potted aspidestra. As you correctly surmised during your somewhat verbose ramblings to yourself a moment ago, I have progressed from human character impersonation to inanimate objects.
Why?
Why? To enable me to spy on my adversaries in a silent and undetectable manner. I fooled Mrs. Hudson with it, you know. To my detriment, I might add.
Really? What happened?
The silly cow watered my stalk. Now, where have you been, my dear Watson?
Oh, just out for my morning constitutional.
Well, I hope you didn't frighten the horses. I noticed two of them backfired when you walked past the cab rank opposite.
You seem to spend a lot of time spying on people from the window these days.
Not spying, Watson, observing. All human life is out there, going about their daily business. Hello, look. I see Flash Harry is up to his usual tricks. At least he's got the weather for it, hasn't he? And the pigeons have found a novel place to perch. How nice.
Where?
That giant eagle on the end there, look.
Let me see.
And an ostrich, look.
Let me see.
Don't push, I nearly fell off the wardrobe then.
By Jove, how does he get away with it?
Ah, he hasn't.
He's just been dragged off by the peeler.
Yes, I bet that made his eyes water as well. Serves him right, that dirty little swine.
Oh, no, Holmes, there's that appalling man with the bell again.
So it is, Gareth Bushell, the tabloid town crier.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! What a scorcher! Millions melt as heat wave continues. Gladstone spotted in Soho with bag. Royal Rumpo at Reform Club. Prince Consort denies canoodling on carpet with kitchen maid at the Carlton. I was fitted up, he claims.
Oh, dear. I can't listen to such salacious claptrap. Come away from the window, Watson. You're only pandering to his proletarian pap.
Great Scott, Holmes. Look at that pouting trollop with him. She's exposing her bare ankles.
Yes. She's the Proclamation 3 girl, you know. Sign of the times, my friend. A woman of questionable morals will do anything for the payment of a shilling.
Is that what they get? Hmm? A shilling? By thunder. That's more than I earned as an apprentice army doctor in the Fusiliers.
Ah, but did you flash your bare ankles to the other officers?
Where did you hear that? I tell you, I was drunk at the time.
A messenger has just handed the town crier a telegram.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Some late news just in. Carnage at Kew. Ruthless reprobate rampages through royal gardens. Thousands of pounds worth of rare plants destroyed. Gareth Bushell, news at 9:30, Baker Street.
That's the first piece of genuine news that man has regaled us with since he took to the streets.
Yes, correct, my dear fellow. I surmised that in precisely 3 seconds' time, Inspector Lestrade will be knocking on my door, begging me to assist him in his investigation. 3, 2, 1.
Mr. Holmes, sorry to interrupt your showing off.
What is it, Mrs. Hudson?
A police constable just brung this note for you.
Ah, perhaps Lestrade has gone straight to Q and is summoning me to follow. Here we are. Dear Mr. Holmes, by now you will be aware of the tumult at Kew Gardens. I request that you... Yours respectfully, Lestrade, Inspector.
Sorry, Holmes, I didn't quite catch the part preceding the yours respectfully.
No, I didn't want to bore you with the details.
Yeah, let me. I request that you keep your muddlesome nose out of my investigation and let me take the glory for once. I am perfectly capable of solving the crime myself without your persistent patronizing. I am the big know-all interference. No one likes a smart ass. Yours respectfully, Lestrade Inspector.
Well, that's put you in your place.
Have a care, Watson. You're treading on very dangerous ground.
Oh, if there's going to be smack bodies, can I watch?
There is nothing you can't. Now go about your business, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, very good, sir. Seeing as how you're undoubtedly going to stick your oar in, regardless of what the inspector said, do you want me to prepare you a packed lunch to take down to Kew Gardens?
That would be capital, Mrs. Hudson.
Yes, just concentrate on the things you women do best. Menial tasks.
Poppy nose pumps.
Sour-faced old cow. Now, have I got everything I shall need for this investigation? Let me see. Magnifying glass, tweezers, vials for collecting evidence, stout boots, pipe tobacco, the Alan Titchmarsh pop-up book of plants, senior citizen steam railway card. Yes, all complete. Come, Watson, let us away to Kew Gardens and an unsuspecting Inspector Lestrade.
Ah, Holmes, you can tell we're in Kew Gardens. Just smell that aroma.
Yes, horse manure.
I think that gardener over there is sprinkling it on the roses. Ask him if he knows where the inspector is.
Yes, I will. I say, you there, gardener fellow.
Morning, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Lestrade.
You picked up the scent, then.
You can say that again. Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is rather fruity, isn't it? Helps makes the plants grow, I'm told. The place is full of it.
Yes, and so are you. What is the meaning of sending me that offensive telegram?
Telegram? I sent you no telegram?
Someone else must have sent it.
Oh, thank you, Watson. That brilliant deduction. It seems that someone else wants me out of the way. He or she knew that telegram...
Offensive telegram?
Yes, yes. Offensive telegram would be like a red rag to a bull, and then I would totally ignore its contents and come here regardless.
Would you mind explaining what this telegram business...
Offensive telegram business.
Watson.
Yes, Holmes. Oh!
Would you mind explaining what this telegram, offensive or otherwise, business is all about?
Later, Lestrade. The listeners already know, and we don't want to bore them any more than they already are, I tell you. So what exactly happened here?
Mindless mayhem, Mr. Holmes. It seems...
Inspector Lestrade, I cannot have members of the public trampling all over my exhibits willy-nilly. Enough damage has been done already.
Permit me to introduce myself, madam. I am Sherlock Holmes, the famous detective, master of disguise...
And toffee-nosed Pons. Your reputation goes before you, a thousand apologies, and you must be Holmes's inseparable chum, Dr. Watson. We all know about your reputation.
Madam, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, don't worry, I'm a broad-minded cove. So what if you're a bit of a nine-bob note? I'm a pal of Oscar Wilde myself. Though in a different way, if you catch my drift.
Who are you, madam?
Oh, sorry. Another thousand apologies. The name's Delphinium Bladderwort. Chief horticulturist of Kew Gardens, I trust you will discover and apprehend the miscreant for vandalizing my prized specimens.
Madam, I have yet to ascertain what has happened here.
Ascertain? Look, man, the devastation is all around you. My floribunda flattened, my triumphans tropicus trampled upon, my volcanicus and... another word beginning with thee vandalized.
All I see is a profusion of color surrounding that carnivorous plant over there.
Holmes, I think you mean coniferous.
No, Watson. Carnivorous. It's eating one of the constables.
Ah! Great steaming doggy-doos. Pardon my somewhat purple exclamation, madam. What the devil is it? Do you have a license to exhibit such dangerous vegetation?
Never mind the formalities, Lestrade. Stop the cursed thing before it completely devours the poor man.
Yes, of course. You're under arrest, Sunbeam. I must ask you to put that rosin down and accompany me to the Nick. Are you going to come quietly? Obviously not.
Draw your revolver and shoot it.
Ah, right.
Oh, well done, Inspector. You felled it.
Just doing my duty, sir. Miss Bladderwort, what do you know of this fiend from hell?
That thing is nothing to do with me, Inspector. But by Jove, I wish it were. What a magnificent specimen. It has the most impressive stamens and pistils.
I say, steady on.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Bladderwort, but it's police evidence. Dr. Watson, would you examine my constable and see how much of him was eaten by the plant?
Yes, of course I will, of course.
Mr. Holmes, what are you doing?
I'm just digging up a clump of turf close to where the carnivorous plant was rooted. I shall take it back to Baker Street for analysis.
And will the clump of turf tell you anything?
I hope so. No doubt you have read my monograph entitled A Study of British Sods.
I'm afraid that won't pass me by.
One or two of your friends in it, Lestrade, I can promise you.
Any news on the constable, Doctor?
Oh, yes, yes, Lestrade. He'll live. Fortunately, the plant only chomped through the top of his helmet. He fainted from the shock, that's all.
Well, he would do. Now, Miss Bladderwort, you say you've nothing to do with this flesh-eating foliole.
Nothing at all, Inspector. This was the greenhouse where I exhibited my exotic cucumbers. Some of them flower most profusely, you know. Why, only last week a party of nuns from the Order of Vegetable Worshippers enthused most vehemently about them.
Dear reader of this journal, I shall draw a veil over Lestrade's reply as it is irrelevant to the mysterious events at Kew Gardens. Holmes and I took the train back to Waterloo and then a growler cab to Baker Street.
Mrs. Hudson, are you home?
What do you think this is, standing in front of you, me hands covered in flour, a bleeding hologram?
Show some respect for your intellectual superior woman.
Quite. Give me your wrist.
You don't mean...
Yes, I do. A Chinese burn.
Holmes?
Yes?
Holmes?
Yes?
Weren't you supposed to do it to her?
Yes. That hurt, Mrs. Hudson.
Serves you right, pompous git. Look, while you was out, you had a visitor.
Uh-huh, as I thought.
The person who sent you the telegram to get you out of the way.
I'll bet my Stradivarius on it.
Won't you know, your visitor buggered off with it.
What?
He said he was the violin tuner you sent for and had come to take your Stradivarius to have a look at it in his workshop. He reckoned your G-string needed stretching.
Did he indeed? And you let him walk out with it?
Oh, you're not saying he was an imposter.
Well, I certainly didn't send for him, woman.
Holmes, do you think he sent you that fake telegram to ensure that you'd go to Kew Garden so he could come here and steal your favorite violin?
I admit even I, genius that I am, am totally baffled by that one.
Well, why don't you ask him? He left his calling card. Here you are.
The plot thickens. Chinese laundry, opium den, and violin tuning. Rickshaw Terrace, Limehouse. Proprietor, Chim Me Wheeler.
Chim Me Wheeler? Is that name familiar to you?
No, but he is to some of the members of our order.
Holmes, we must make haste to Limehouse.
All in good time, Watson. I have a sod to examine.
Isn't that Dr. Watson's job?
Mrs. Hudson, get yourself in the kitchen and prepare us tea and a plate of fancies and bring them out to our rooms. Come, Watson.
Pompous torture.
How are you progressing with your analysis of the clump, Holmes?
Later, Watson. In the meantime, I feel like a snog.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, a typing error in the script. As you'd have said, I feel like a song.
Oh.
Be so kind as to accompany me on the pianoforte.
Oh, well, certainly, Holmes. Oh, what song are you going to sing?
How about the one we did at rehearsals this afternoon?
If you insist.
Thank you. There was once a poor young girl who lived in the country, and she came to the city to seek employment. Oh, she left her country home because the wolf was at the door, and her father had fallen down and hurt his knee. Just before she left for the city, her boyfriend, whose name was Jack, said to her, "I fear you might not be true." So he made her promise him before she got into the train that every night at 8 o'clock she would burst into tears. Don't anticipate, Watson. Oh, she came to the city and was riding on an omnibus when a man got up and offered her his seat. She refused the offer with scorn, for she saw that he wore a ring. And for all she knew, he might be a... And up came the driver and said, I knew you would be true. And whipped off his false whiskers. And it was Jack. And the day she received a telegram saying that her father's knee was better. And that her aunt had died and left her a substantial amount of money. By golly, I needed that. Enter.
I brought you tea, gentlemen, and a nice plate of raspberry legumes. Oh, and Inspector Lestrade is here to see you.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, there's been another incident. This time at Kensington Gardens. It was horrible. Same as the last one. Giant man-eating plant that no one has seen before went on the rampage. Unfortunately, it had devoured half a garden. Now,
half a garden?
I knew you couldn't resist that one, Mr.
Woman's not even been born yet. What are you talking
about? Unfortunately, it had devoured half a gardener before my men finally shot it down. Bitten clean through his dibber, it had.
Oh. Where is it now?
Back of the yard. Our pathologist is carrying out an autopsy on it.
Splendid. In the meantime, I have completed my analysis. This bowl here contains various samples of soil and minute pieces of gravel extracted from the solid earth I dug up using the trowel contraption on my Swiss Army knife.
Oh, I say.
It also has one of those things for removing stones from Mrs. Hudson's hooves.
Saucy pillock.
Just carry on pouring the tea, Mrs. Hudson. Upon closer examination under the microscope, I have ascertained that the top layer of soil is alien to Surrey, the county in which Q resides. It's from a quarry just outside the Somerset village of Dribbling on the End.
Then that means the carnivorous tree was probably planted by a Somerset man.
Would it be too much to expect the perpetrator actually resides in the village of Dribbling on the End?
We shall find out. An examination of the Somerset electoral register should provide the answer.
Don't let your teeth get cold, gents.
Very well, Mrs. Hudson, if it makes you happy.
Oh, dear. Isn't it sweet enough for you?
Stupid woman, you've sugared our teas from the bowl of earth and gravel samples.
Dear reader of this journal, in less than 2 hours of... I can still taste that gravel. In less than 2 hours, Holmes and I were taking the early evening train to Yeovil, the nearest town to Dribbling on the End.
Where?
Dribbling on the End.
Thank you.
From the station, we took a cab to the town hall, where we inquired the whereabouts of the room containing the electoral register of Somerset. To save time, the clerk brought the room to us, and we searched for the appropriate volume.
This is it, Watson. The electoral register for Dribbling on the End.
Oh, the names are all in alphabetical order. How will we know who to look for?
The second half of the register contains the yellowing pages, listed under occupations and trades. Let's see. BBB botanists. Here we are. Well, well, well. It was as I suspected.
You found something?
Oh, yes. An old adversary of mine listed under a further subsection, deranged oriental botanists. None other than Dr. Fu Man Hardcastle.
Fu Man Hardcastle?
Yes. His mother was an official at the Chinese embassy in Pontefract, where she met a coal miner at one of the embassy tea dances. 9 months later, she ended up in the Yorkshire Pudding Club. For as long as I've known him, he has been obsessed with conducting unethical experiments on both humans and plant life.
I remember him. Wasn't he the bounder who cross-pollinated a pansy with a hiker?
Yes, and ended up with a fell walker who minced instead of rambled. That's the swine. Come, Watson, we have a villain to catch. We are there, Watson.
Yes. Are you sure this is the only pub in the village?
Yes, the Crown and Carsey. This is the place. Doesn't look very inviting, I grant you. Cabby, is this the only pub in the village?
Oh, you can bring geez, or double good and boydly glare, toffee nose punts.
Be off with you, country bumpkin.
Got you that time, Mr. Holmes.
Inspector Lestrade. What a brilliant disguise.
Excellent, Lestrade. I saw through it at once, of course, but you certainly fooled Watson.
I'd duck if I were you, Lestrade. There's a low-flying pig overhead.
Well, pardon the subterfuge, gents, but you're playing a very dangerous game, and I couldn't afford to take any chances. Our police doctor had a look at the two man-eating plants we destroyed, and, wait for this, they're both half-human. It seemed as though a man and tree had been welded together as one. Most hyenas. How can I describe it? Like an actor in Neighbours?
You'll pardon the anachronism?
Granted. Well, there's only one fiend with the necessary know-how who could be responsible for such a dastardly deed, and we've tracked him down to Limehouse in London.
Jimmy Wheeler, yes. I bet he's using the Chinese Laundry Opium Den and Violin Tuning Emporium as a front to his nefarious activities. We shall disguise ourselves as Chinese sailor boys searching for a good night out and pay this den of iniquity a visit.
Oh, dear. I don't like opium. I'm strictly a Benson and Hedges man.
Don't be such a scaredy-sticks, or I shall be forced to coerce you. You have a choice, of course. Smack bodies, a poke in the eye, or I tell Lestrade your little secret.
You swine.
Stay close to me, Watson. This pea super is getting thicker by the second.
Yes, I think I just stepped in a crouton. Are you sure these oriental disguises will fool them?
They will now, though your first attempt wouldn't have.
I thought it was all right. All Chinamen wear pigtails.
Yes, a single one at the back. Not two plaited ones with little pink bows on. Here we are. Chinese laundry proprietor, one long rinse. For opium den and whist drive, knock three times and ask for Gladys. Here goes. Good luck, Watson.
Thank you.
What do you want?
Hello. Bring her in right to speak to Gladys, please.
Me, Gladys. What do you want?
Me and my Sarah boy chum here would like to come in for a bit of a reason.
You want opium den or whist drive?
Both, please.
You have yen for it?
I've always had a yen for it. Never stop thinking about it.
No, Pronka.
Pronka?
You have moolah, buns, cash.
Rook, Mrs. Roman, could we come in, please? It's bloody freezing out here.
Okay. I fetch Gaffer. Follow me to table. Oh,
dear. Talk about passive smoking hose.
Storm waters. From now on, we have to remain incognito.
Yes.
Here we are. You sit.
Right.
No. I only introduce you to card players at this table.
What do you mean?
Him called, here we are. And other one called, you sit.
Or he could be in for a wrong night.
Now, here is Gaffer.
Ah, so... Who are you?
Hello, my name is...
No, I am called. Who are you? Not my name.
Oh, sorry, Ryer Estate. Are you one?
What if I am? It's none of your business.
Oh, that's my name. Are you one?
And who is this Cambaldada with you?
He run two.
I have no doubt about that. With his pracked eyebrows and backcomb moustache?
No, imbecile. My name is He Wan Tu.
I wish we'd never started this.
So do I.
Yes. We come here for debauchery and depravity.
Oh, so you're here for whist drive.
Haven't you got anything stronger in the back?
You don't mean...
I do, Totty. I like your Gradis. She tasty bit of crumpet.
And what about your friend here?
No, I don't think he tasty bit of crumpet.
I mean, is he here for the totty?
No, I here for whist drive. I cream this place up.
Cream?
Cream it up.
Gravis! Fling this man a bloom and blush and dustpan.
No, you misconstrue.
Misconstrue?
Never mind.
I know her.
To save time... I sit here and join this game. Okay, Ferris, crabs at clumps.
Oh, Gladys, take IO1 into back room and give him our special.
Okie dokie, come chunky. So, big boy, now we are alone. What is your pleasure?
How about a quick fiddle?
Why me? You don't waste any time, do you?
On the violin. I see one ring on that chest labeled in Chinese, of course. Botanical experiments gone wrong.
Your motives are what, Mush? Perhaps too much for your own good.
Also, I see you recognize your very own Stradivari... Too difficult to say. Violin, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
I congratulate you on seeing through my quite brilliant disguise, Mr. Who Are You? Or should I say, Chimmy Wheeler, alias Dr. Fu Man Hardcastle?
Lad, you've rumbled me and no mistake. And I gather that other pathetic character in front bar is your pal John Watson.
Correct. Dr. Watson.
Yes.
Make your getaway and summon the police. Don't worry about me. I can defend myself.
Very well. So where's your pal now then, eh, lad?
Like I said, I can defend myself. I am proficient in the arts of jujitsu, karate, and Nintendo.
Aye, well, up and arm crap at all of them. But I'm re-handed with gun, which is now pointed at your head, Mr. Holmes.
I'm also proficient at running away.
Flaming Nora, missed.
He's gone into secret laboratory, our Fu Man.
Then we've got him trapped, our goddess. There's no other way out. Prepare to meet thy end, Mr. Holmes.
No, he's not here, love. There's out but our plan.
Hey, nay, lass, it's not possible. Hey, our Gladys, that it should come to this. Nabbed by filth.
Then run for it.
Nay, it'll be futile.
It'll be flaming difficult if you're caught.
How do you mean, love?
Well, look who's in charge, Inspector Lestrade, and you're playing him and all.
Oh, chuffing hell.
And you got the whole gang, Lestrade?
Every last one of them, including the evil Fu Man Hardcastle and his wife, Gladys. How's the patient?
Holmes, in his room, resting after his ordeal. But I still don't understand why Fu Man Hardcastle sent one of his henchmen to steal Holmes's violin.
That's the clever part. He also stole one of the leaves off the aspidistra, accidentally knocking another one to the floor.
So is this going to take long? I haven't been on for a couple of pages.
Oh, be quiet. You're supposed to be recovering. This is the all-important wrapping up of the plot, which always happens at this point in the story. You were saying, Lestrade.
Thank you. I shall be as quick as I can. Fu Man's plan was to doctor Holmes's Stradivarius and then return it to him so that the next time Holmes played it and plucked the G-string, a spike would shoot out of the end under his chin and inject him with a solution extracted from the stolen aspidistra leaf along with some other chemicals.
I doubt if Fu Man Hardcastle gets a longer sentence than the one you've just come out with.
Be quiet, Holmes. Why did the evil doctor go to such lengths?
That was his diabolical method of transforming humans into plants. In time, Holmes would have gone the same horrible way. Half genius, half aspidistra.
Funny how an aspidistra was how he escaped death at the hands of the dastardly doctor.
Ah, yes. His impersonation of one so he could remain undetected in his secret laboratory. Brilliant.
And yet, after such a triumph, poor Holmes lapsed into the distressed malady we find him in now.
Oh, yes. That was my fault, I'm afraid.
Oh?
Well, I'm a keen gardener myself, and when I saw this magnificent aspidistra in front of me, and not knowing that it was actually Holmes in disguise, and the fact that there were a pair of secateurs next to him, well...
You didn't.
I... snipped off a couple of cuttings.
He's coming round.
I'll get you for this, Lestrade.
That was the newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The part of Sherlock Holmes was played by Mr. Royston Hudd, Dr. Watson by Mr. Christopher Emmett, and Mrs. Hudson and other feminine characters were depicted by Miss June Whitfield. The portrayal of Inspector Lestrade and a multitude of other masculine characters was rendered by Mr. Geoffrey Holland. The pianoforte was Mr. Ian Smith. The dialogue was scribed by Mr. Anthony Hare. And the entire extravaganza was produced by Mr. Christopher Neal.